This baby is coming out of me right now.
Don't know how I can do it.
I don't think it's the worst part though. Oh my God, the ring of fire. And I didn't have a contraction anymore, but I was like, nope, I'm done. I am getting this baby out right now. And so I just pushed her out with my own free will and not even using a contraction because I didn't want to wait more. And then I felt her shoulder go pop. I was like, I want to catch her. And I just was like shrieking in joy and happiness. Like, this has to end. I am done with this experience.
Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I'm your co-host, Dr. Leah Gordon, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Morgan and I share the natural women's health and motherhood guidance you've been looking for through a fresh, functional, and balanced lens. And today we have a very special episode breaking down Dr. Morgan's fifth home birth with her fifth baby. It's amazing. I was there. I got to film her whole birth. We live only 12 minutes apart, so it was amazing that I could be there and support her. She was a doula for me in both of my births, even though they ended up a little bit differently than we imagined. It's fun to be able to support each other as we bring babies into the world. She has an incredible story, so much wisdom to share and knowledge, as she always does, but with her own birth and the things that she's doing in this postpartum, because she feels amazing and has felt better than she ever has. And so she shares some of those tips at the end as well. So be sure and listen all the way through. This is a good one. You don't want to miss it. And let's get started. All right. We are back for a very special episode with Dr. Morgan and her new baby.
New baby.
We're talking all about your fifth birth. I was there, but
yes,
I don't know. I'm just so in awe of you and how amazing all of your births have been. And you're such a powerhouse mama, and you have five perfect little baby angels, and this one is no exception. I'm just so excited. I know everyone is chomping at the bit to kind of hear the whole story and your perspective and all the things and what you're doing postpartum. And this is your teachings literally embodied in real life because you're just going through it right now. So I know you are holding little baby McLean right now. For those who are watching on YouTube, you can see. But why don't you tell us about everything you want to tell us about?
Yeah, and I want to hear your perspectives too when you like when it's time for that, or like, because I know you were only there for like 20 minutes.
I know.
Jeez, I mean, honestly, that was crazy. I could, if I waited like a few more contractions, I think you guys would have all missed it. So, anyways. Yeah, I'm so excited to share. And I'm just trying to remember, what was the two things I was going to say? I have notes, but oh, I was going to just, yeah, explain what a contraction felt like. And then my hardest time. Yep. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was remembering all the things that I said that I was going to mention in it. And I do have some notes too. So yeah, fifth home birth, baby McLean is here. She was born like about 4 days after the due date that I would say would be like my very most accurate due date based on conception, because I do track ovulation. And so I know when it happened. And so that was the 28th for me, was her 40 weeks. There was the 26th, if you'd heard me talk about it on social media, was like an ultrasound due date. Really though, like weeks and weeks prior, I would have bet so much money that I wasn't even going to make it to my due date. I was so convinced. Mm-hmm. And that is always just such a tricky mindset. It's such a like trap. You never actually want to think that for real. And as it was happening to me and I was starting to think that, I was like, well, I know that I shouldn't be trying to like, you know, actually expect that to happen, but I just was having so many crampy sensations and contractions randomly, and I was so uncomfortable, and I was like, maybe this one's gonna come early, like who knows, you know, that happens once in a while, but probably not. Don't let yourself think you're gonna be the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Even if you feel like that's probably gonna happen because of whatever reasons and you're having contractions and stuff, because that can just go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. So anyway, so I gave birth to her on a Friday, and that prior to like Friday morning at 1 a.m., you know? And so that prior Tuesday okay, let me back up. My birth story with Sunday, and we'll have all of the birth story podcast linked, yours too. So if anybody can hear or anybody wants to hear our stories, they can. With Sunday, my fourth, I had at least 10 days of prodromal labor. And when I say prodromal labor, what I mean is like hours of consistent contractions that would then stop. With this baby, I didn't have that until Tuesday. I'd had random contractions, but nothing was ever in a pattern. It was never like, oh, maybe this is labor. Whereas with Sunday, I kept thinking, oh, maybe this is labor for 10 days, and it was infuriating. And sometimes I would have them through the night and they would disrupt my sleep. And, they were never like super strong, but I remember though a couple of nights in particular where they'd wake me up, and being woken up to the peak of a contraction, even if it's like a pretty mild contraction, still is like so rude. It doesn't feel good. And with this baby, I was really glad that that wasn't happening because it is such a mind F to like not know what's going on, and like, especially when you need to take care of other kids and you have plans and whatever. I felt like a ticking time bomb. I felt like I couldn't go do anything because I was going to imminently go into labor at any moment. Oh, angel. This is an angel. An angel directly sent from heaven on my chest right now. But you know what? This is how a birth podcast is going to go sometimes. So excuse the baby sounds, or maybe you love it. Who knows? She's been awake for like 2 hours now. I really thought that she would fall asleep, and
She's
hopefully
so
she will.
sweet.
Anyway, so Tuesday at like 3 or 4 p.m., I was just kind of laying in bed. I was honestly at the end of this pregnancy. This was not an easy pregnancy. And I'm kind of glad now that I have had this experience, even though it was annoying to experience in the moment, like in real time. I'm glad I have it because now I really can understand a lot more, not because of hyperemesis or like a lot of really intense morning sickness, but like the aches and the pains and just feeling like really done. I've always loved pregnancy, even up until the very end. And with Sunday, even though I went to 41 weeks with her and was like pretty annoyed by the contractions, I was like hiking camel's back, which is like a pretty steep set of stairs that you can climb in downtown Boise. And I was like doing things comfortably. I had some hip stuff with her at some point in the pregnancy, but this baby was basically on my right side the entire time since I was able to like feel her body really clearly. She would kick me and she would move like around, but her back never really swung onto the left side of me. Like maybe a few times in the middle of the night when I'd be sleeping on my left. And I was really cognizant of it and probably too conscious of it. But it was because it was causing me hip pain. It was causing me this like heaviness on my right side. And I had this like right-sided leg varicose vein, and which I think was just from, well, it was starting during Sunday's pregnancy, but then it was like exacerbated from her positioning. And towards the end there, then I was getting these like shooters down my right leg, and I was just very uncomfortable. And so I really like was not enjoying the pregnancy by the end. Probably from like 33 weeks on, I was like, I'm done. And that's way too early to be done when you have another 7 weeks to go. There was
And it
also a
was
bunch
so
of life stuff,
hot.
like,
It was
what was
so
that?
hot, smoky. It was just so hot and smoky too, which makes it unfun because you just feel miserable even when you're not pregnant.
Exactly. Like, and I the heat really blew me away how much I hated that. I am such a summer person. I wait all year for summer. I love it. I thrive in the sun. I love to be hot. I love to go swimming. I love to da da da. And I thought to myself, as soon as I figured out her due date when I got pregnant in November, I was like, oh my God, that's gonna be so fun. I'm gonna have a summer baby. Like, that'll be so great. And I'll be like big and pregnant and in my swimming suit and tan and running around with the kids at the end there and was doing all the fun summer stuff. It's gonna be so great. And then I was like, there is no way I can go like walk around the zoo even at 10 in the morning because it's going to be like 92 or 3 degrees. And I'm just like, no, I can't do it. But also, like, my gait was really weird. My waddle, I started waddling very early and I couldn't really not waddle. I went to the chiropractor. I was doing my hip mobility stuff. Honestly, it was just, it's like the chiropractor, what he's our good friend's husband. And he's like, well, oh, there's a name for it. He kept calling me. What was it? Something. It was kind of like, it's sort of one of those funny medical terms where it's like, like geriatric pregnancy or something, where you're like, could you guys come up with a different word for that? And it was something about ligament laxity when you've had multiple pregnancies. And it was just such a funny, like, deform. It was like ligament deformity or something,
Oh
where he's like,
no.
your
Back
body is just,
deformity.
yeah, he's like, your body is just like dumping into your joints. And so you just don't have as much stability and, whatever. Anyway, which is par for the course when you've had 5 kids in 10 years. So, And anyways, okay, so we get to the end. I'm like shocked that I'm still pregnant. Yeah, and then the smoke rolls in from the wildfire smoke, which I was just like, this is so shitty. And I wanted to go on walks and like get her in a better position. And even though the walking was kind of hurting, I was like at that point where I was like, okay, I'm going on a bumpy road. I'm jumping on the train. I'm doing things to get this going. I want to go into labor, you know? I'm bending down a million times a day to pick up kids' toys and stuff. Whereas beforehand, people would be like, oh, don't bend. I got it. You don't. And I'm like, no. I am doing the deep squats. I'm getting her out. So anyway, I did still end up going on a couple of walks when the air quality wasn't great. But you know, they're like 20 minutes. And I just kept thinking to myself, I mean, activity sometimes is more important. But anyway. Now, you know, I'm 10 days postpartum. She's 10 days old now. And it is still, the air is still so bad, and it doesn't look like there's any end in sight. And that is such a bummer. This really sucks. But in this some kind of way too, since I'm just like holed up inside anyway, it's like whatever. But I did want to like see a prettier sky sitting in my bed here this whole time. And I know for everyone else, like you're just cooped up inside. So anyways, okay, Tuesday. At like 3 or 4 p.m., I started having some, like I had a contraction. I was like, okay, whatever. And then like 20 minutes later, I had another one. And I was like, oh. And then I looked at my clock again. About 30 minutes later, I had another one. So I was having like one or two an hour-ish. And that kind of continued until 10 p.m.-ish, maybe 10 or 11. And I was like, oh, actually, you know what? Sorry, I'm looking at my notes here. They were more like every 10 to 15 minutes. Sorry. Looking at my notes. So on Tuesday afternoon, I had contractions about every 10 to 15 minutes from 3-ish until like about 10 or 11, like right before I was going to bed. And maybe as I was starting to fall asleep, I had like a couple more, but then they stopped through the night. They never, when I was up in the night to pee, no contractions. I didn't get woken up by anything. I didn't sleep super great that night, but I think because I was sort of like excited and I kept thinking to myself, like, is this it? Because that's what's hard about these contractions that don't end up, you know, producing real labor. So, Wednesday comes around, I'm like, whatever, no contractions in the daytime. And then around again, 3 or 4 p.m., they pick back up and they're like around every 20 minutes. And whatever we were making for dinner that night was like not something I was interested in. And Wes was like, go eat, go leave. And I was like, well, I was gonna maybe see if I could go like walk around Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that because I want to go walk somewhere, but I need to be inside somewhere that's big enough. I don't want to go drive all the way down into like the mall, you know, but where am I going to go? Like, what's a big, or was like Costco, but Costco kind of
Yeah, those
closes.
are good ideas. I mean, good thinking.
Yeah. And I was like, I want to be somewhere that's big enough that the employees don't like notice what I'm doing. But they totally did. And
Just
I'll
grab
mention
like a
that.
random jar of nails, and you're like, I'm just looking for these specific nails.
Yeah. Up
Just
and down
checking.
the aisles, every single aisle. Yeah, exactly. So I went on Wednesday night to Crave, which is a restaurant in Eagle that's so good because they have the best short ribs. I love short ribs, are one of my favorite foods in general. And there's two places in town, Crave and Percy, that have just the world's best short ribs. So I was really craving that. I go and I sit at the bar. Everybody in Crave was just staring at me. I mean, I was wearing like sweatpants. I don't know what I was wearing. I was not wearing anything cute. I kind of refuse to buy maternity clothes, so I don't really have that many outfits, especially at the end. And it's a little bit of a nice restaurant, so I probably shouldn't have been wearing what I was wearing. I don't know what it was, like leggings or sweatpants or something, but whatever. It's okay. And I'm like standing there waiting for the bar somewhere to open up, and this couple walks in behind me, and like this woman was one of those women who's like goes and gets what she wants. And so she started to kind of walk past me, and then she stopped and she's like, oh wait, are you in line for the waiting for a bar spot? And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh yeah, you're gonna go get drunk right now or something. And I
Oh,
jokingly
God.
said, oh yeah, I smashed wasted, can't wait, you know. I was like no, it's just the easiest, fastest way to get food in and out, you know. And then she's like looking, she's like, let me go find you a spot, hold on, how long have you been standing here, you know? So
Oh.
she's one of those people that's like, absolutely not is this pregnant lady gonna stand here. And there was these little old ladies that were sitting on the bench waiting for their reservation, and they came up to me and they were like, do you want to come sit down? I was like, no,
Oh.
it's okay, I need to stand, I just drove like a long time to get here. And so anyway, it was very sweet. Everybody was looking at me like I was disabled or something, and I was really big
I do think
and I
it's
was having
sweet.
contractions.
I do
So
think it's sweet though, how much like society really caters to pregnant women. Like there's something about it, more so honestly than when you have the baby, then they're kind of annoyed by you. But when you're pregnant, they're so nice to you and they're so kind and everything. It's just like, wow, why don't you do this all the time?
I know. And then as soon as the baby comes out of you, you're seen as like a burden or like an annoyance when the baby's crying and stuff. It's actually very annoying that how quick it flips on its head like that. But yeah, so she found me a spot at the bar. I ate my short ribs and mashed potatoes. And then the people next to me were asking me all sorts of questions about, and I was like, well, I'm having contractions right now. So, I mean, maybe the baby's going to be born tonight. They were like, oh my God, are you okay? Do you need it? I was like, no, I'm okay. It's not that bad. So anyway, then I drive to Home Depot. I start walking around Home Depot. This is at like 8 o'clock. And I had a couple of like pretty good contractions in the car. Not okay. Like when I say that, I don't mean like, oh, a 5 out of 10, like, oh yeah, good start. No, I mean like, this may actually be the start of early labor. Like this is, or these may actually start to do some things to my cervix. Like even if it's in a very gentle way, like just bringing the cervix anterior or maybe starting to efface, like they were nothing that I had to moan, you know, but just sharper cramp pain than what I'd felt prior. So I'm walking around Home Depot and they're not going away. They're staying. They do get like a little bit closer together while I'm walking. Anytime I would walk, that would kind of happen. And then I got really tired. I probably walked for 45 minutes and then I was just like, whoa, I need to go home and go to sleep. So I do. And then I had a contraction or two all throughout the night, like an hour, sorry, contraction or two an hour all throughout the night. And I'm pretty like a staunch don't look at your phone in the middle of the night person because it really messes with my head. But because I had to pee so many times too, I did it a few times just enough to know that like that's about what the frequency was. And it kind of just continued. And I was like, okay, like this. But I got a little bit freaked out when I got home from Home Depot and then like nothing was really set up. I think I had Wes. Did he set it up? No, I didn't have him set up the pool yet, but I was just like getting some kind of things ready where I was like, wait a minute, I don't even have like my essential oils stuff. Wait, what am I doing here?
Like, were you thinking that night that it was going to happen? Because well, I think you had texted me. That was the night that you're like, just be aware. And so I was like, I'm ready.
Yes, because as we're talking about birth and postpartum support, I want to share an underrated tip with you. That tip is to continue taking your prenatal. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally demanding phases of a woman's life. Many women stop taking their prenatal after birth, but we recommend taking it for at least the first 9 months postpartum or the entirety of the time that you're breastfeeding. My favorite prenatal is Needed's Prenatal Multi, and it's the most robust formula that I've seen in the market. It contains bioavailable nutrients in their evidence-based dosages, well above the bare minimum that a lot of prenatals settle for. Their quality standards are top tier with transparent third-party testing and over 10,000 practitioners now recommending the brand. And now we have the results from their IRB-approved clinical study that confirm the results of what we've been seeing clinically. Women who take the prenatal multi have significantly higher blood levels of critical nutrients for pregnancy and postpartum. This includes vitamin D, B6, B12, riboflavin, vitamin K2. Only women in the Needed group reach the adequate, sufficient levels of vitamin D. Vitamin D plays a big role in your immune health, your mood, and your energy production, all things that are really important during your postpartum season. And while there's many different ways that you can support yourself postpartum, continuing to take your prenatal is a really simple, easy way to cover all your bases. It's one of the most impactful habits that we can have, and Needed makes it easy. Learn more about the study at thisisneeded.com/thrive and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Yes, healthy mother, like a little affirmation for yourself. Electrolytes are trending, yes, but they have been in need of our human bodies for all of time. And if you're drinking another popular and delicious salty electrolyte, here's why you should be drinking Relight instead. First of all, have you ever considered the salt source of these other brands? Because most of them just use table salt. Yeah, table salt. You don't want that. Redmond's Relight Powders uses their unrefined ancient sea salt that they mine in Utah. This salt source contains 60 plus trace minerals along with calcium, chloride, potassium, and magnesium in two different forms, glycinate and malate. The minerals that they use in the Relight Powders are all in the appropriate proportions and forms too. The metabolic needs of pregnancy, healing postpartum, and milk making require more minerals than in other times of your life. Pregnancy itself demands huge increases in your blood volume, which takes, you know, more minerals. Relight is the perfect blend to be sipping during your pregnancy or during your labor even, and especially while you're breastfeeding. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavors oscillate between mixed berry, lemon lime, and the strawberry lemonade. But you can try a sample pack and try all the flavors for yourself and see what you think. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% on your entire Redmond order. That includes their OG sea salt, other seasonings, bentonite clays, toothpaste, and more. Because, you know, sometimes you read these stories where people are like, oh, I had that, you know, my contractions started like for the very first one that I ever felt. And then 3 hours later, the baby was born. And I'm just like, what? Like, that has never happened to me. I've had fast active labors, but I always have a very long early labor, it seems. I've never had the situation where I had zero contractions and then all of a sudden the baby was out really quickly. That has not happened to me. But multiple of our friends in the last couple of months who have like 4 and 5 babies told me stories like that. So I was like, oh my gosh, I probably should alert everybody. So I texted you and Andrea. Andrea is my sister-in-law's sister who lives here on the property with us. You guys were both going to come over and one of you film, one of you take photos, but then also having both of you there to kind of like manage the kids if in case they needed help, like, or mm-hmm. I don't know. I just wasn't sure how Sunday was going to deal. Like, I knew the other three would be fine, but yeah. So then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, okay, well, what? This is all right. But then they were still going and, you know, not strong, but still happening at this kind of like consistent 20 to 25 minutes situation. And then I started losing mucus plug, like big chunks of it. Like, you know, and you can be mucusy at the end of pregnancy. And sometimes people never see their mucus plug. So just an FYI, in case you never notice it, that doesn't mean anything really. It just may have like, which honestly, in my experience, that would be really surprised. I'm like kind of surprised. What do you mean? How do you not notice it? Because it's like, it's this big glob of brownish blood and then more blood and then more, like, it's like a ball of like rubber cement mixed with like some more goopy mucus stuff. Like, it's very, you pick it, you can like hold it, it has turgor. It's like a piece of tissue, you know? It's not just like discharge that you wipe away. Yeah. There is some of that too. But so I was like, whoa, okay. So this was happening all through the morning on Thursday and I was having so much movement. She was like, again, not her back flipping around right to left, but like she was grinding into my right side, into my like down, you know, kind of like lightning crotch type pains and feeling like her head was so low and it was just like in my vagina. Like if I would sit down, she would just like bop, push, like just pushing her head down. But she was also kind of kicking me and just rearranging her body. I don't know. But like, I felt honestly for the first couple of hours of the morning on Thursday, like I was almost in a continuous cramp because when she would move, it would make one happen or it would like feel that way. And mm-hmm. so I kind of was just having all of this activity and then I'm having all of this mucus and stuff. And I'm like, then, you know, when you just know too much, sometimes it's kind of a bummer. Totally. It's annoying to be so well-versed in all this stuff. Because then I was starting to think to myself, oh my gosh, maybe I'm one of those people like our friend Shruti from medical mm-hmm. school who isn't going to feel like the wave contractions as much. And it's just going to feel like kind of this weird continuous dull cramp. And then the baby's going to be born in like 45 minutes, you know? So then I was like getting all this stuff ready in my room, which I still don't understand what I thought when I thought I was ready for this baby, because for hours on Thursday, I was like, actually making my postpartum cart the way I wanted. The way I had it was not functional. I was like setting up the room and just doing different things. I was also kind of doing some stupid stuff like dusting things that I didn't need to be dusting, but I was just in that zone of like, yes, like when a dog is right about to give birth to a litter of puppies and is just like scratching and scratching and scratching at the blankets and like turning around mm-hmm. a million times, that's how I felt in this room. Mm-hmm. I basically did not leave the room. I don't even know what Wes and the kids did. They just hung out or something. And I was like putzing around making everything just so. And mm-hmm. again, having these contractions and just like, okay, dealing and wondering what's going to happen. And so maybe by like 6, when I would have one, they were still every 20 minutes, but when I would have one, I was like, I would have to like breathe through it. Maybe just kind of be like, you know, still pretty easy, but definitely getting more intense. I'm kind of in text conversation with my midwife. So at 8:30, we decided to have her come over and just check on the baby's heart rate. I sent her some videos of the baby moving around because I was like, just to show her, like she is going crazy in there. Like it was like McLean never stopped moving that entire day. It's like she never slept. It's like she was moving and moving and moving and moving. And I was just like, wow. And I felt sensation in my uterus the entire day. But then I did also feel on top of that clear wave like contractions. So at 8:30, she comes over. We're about to get prepped for the night. And I had said to Wes before she come over, I was like, should I have her check me, like my cervix, And he's always pro information. So he was like, yeah, why not? I mean, it's just information. And I was like, yeah, but what if I was like, okay, trying to manage my own expectations and emotions. And I was like, but what if I'm only like 2 centimeters or something? Like what then? And he's like, well, then you need to get comfortable and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, actually, yeah, you're right. Like, because what I didn't want to happen was that I was sneakily like with Savi's birth, where I was having these far apart contractions, but they were strong. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere again, and it's not that I didn't want that to happen. I guess it would have been better if I knew. I'm an information person. And so anyways, I had gone into this birth with the goal of no cervical checks, but I wasn't really that strict about it. I was kind of like, it would be cool. And if it doesn't happen, then whatever.
But
And
you also had time, right? Like in my birth, the cervical check telling me that I was only 2 centimeters or whatever made it really anxiety provoking because we're running out of time. Whereas for you, it's like, okay, well, you still have time legally to have the baby. So to
Yes.
know, but you're just like, okay, well, I'll just hang out. So I guess for someone listening to this to decide maybe how soon you are to your due date too, if you think it'll get in your head and stress you out more that will actually delay birth. I don't know if that's a factor to consider.
Yeah, well, and hopefully you're not doing it unless you're in labor, because I do think that those just like end of pregnancy, here, let's just check your cervix, that does get in people's heads, and it's like, what's the point of that? Like, why are you guys doing this? I don't know. But if people have been, if they're in labor, and then you want to make that choice, but you do have to attenuate your expectations and know that it's just a snapshot in time. Cervical checks are subjective, first of all. So one person's 4 centimeters is a different maybe number for somebody else. And then it can change really quick. And so it's like, okay. Or people have had the experience of being 40 weeks, no contractions, and they're 4 centimeters, and they're just walking around 4 centimeters. And I'm like, that's never happened to me. That was those lucky few, the ones that God loves a lot. Just kidding. But yeah, that it's a changeable thing, and it's kind of like weak evidence, I guess, of something maybe happening. Maybe not weak, but moderate. So anyway, I decided to have her check me, and she is digging around in there and couldn't find my cervix. My cervix, in general, in my life, kind of is always a little bit posterior, but in that moment, it was still very, and it's normal in pregnancy for it to be posterior. And then what happens in early labor is it starts to move up because the baby's head is coming down, 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 and it kind of just distorts where the opening is, and it makes it be more anterior. And then it's like a facing, which means getting thinner, and then dilating, which means it's opening. And so mine was still very posterior. So she had a hard time finding it. When she did, I was like 50% effaced, which as a subsequent mom, meaning like I've had multiple, like a multi-Paris mom is what they would call it in a medical term, because I've had multiple births, it's not uncommon for the effacement to happen like later or alongside dilation. Whereas with a first-time mom, usually they efface completely, like almost to 100%, and then they start to dilate. It's just, I don't know why that happens, but it just is. It's kind of like a subsequent mom doesn't really, the baby doesn't need to like quote unquote engage or like drop. And sometimes they don't until like further on into labor. Whereas with the first time, it usually does happen quite a bit before labor happens. So anyways, I was 3 to 4 centimeters, 50% effaced, with a really posterior cervix. So in my head, I was like, oh shit, I have a ways to go here. But still happy. I was like, okay, well, these like very manageable contractions that I've had all day have gotten me to 3 or 4. But they are picking up. Like when I imagined myself trying to go to sleep, and I was like, I'd have to pop up on my hands and knees to like work and like move through them. What I'd been doing up until that point was I was in conversation with my friend Ann Gilligan, which we can link her episode to. She is a labor and delivery nurse that has come up with a method called Gilligan's Guide that rotates a baby into a proper positioning for birth. And because I knew that McLean was on my right side, I kept texting her and being like, you know, I'm having contractions. I think I'm in early labor. She's still on my right, da da da. And so she was having me do some different things, but you can't really do her guide, or you shouldn't, unless you're monitored by your midwife or your medical professional through the movements. And there's like four mm-hmm. specific movements that you do in order to get a baby on the left-hand side. And so she's talking to me about it. She's like, you know, it's okay. You're a fifth time mom. Like, she may not actually rotate until you're closer to like 5 centimeters, 6 centimeters, something like that. So I'm like, okay, whatever. But I was hanging from the door. I made a knot in the sheets, like a long flat sheet. I had a knot on the outside of the door and closed the door. The sheet's kind of hanging over the top of it. And then there's a knot up towards the top of it that I was like holding onto and letting my belly hang and just sort of making a vertical hammock that allows for a lot of movement so the baby could rotate that way, you know, giving her space basically. I am really tall and I have a really long torso too. So there's already a lot of space in my body, but if you're shorter or you have a shorter torso, that's a really important thing to consider is the vertical space between like the top of your hip and the bottom of your ribs. And that like trying to get some really good, like maybe with, like arms up in mountain pose, you know, or hanging your belly over a ball where your arms are up and you're just like giving a lot of room for your baby to maybe get into a better position that direction. Anyway, mm-hmm. I was doing that. It was not changing her position. I was on my hands and knees, whatever. And kind of sitting on the ball and just like also still putzing around the room, like still just doing random stuff. And I ate a big dinner and everything before Janice had come over, my midwife, to check me. And when she left around 9, things started to change. I think partially, you know, her cervical check getting in there, which I'm grateful for this because I wanted this baby out. Like more than ever in my whole life have I wanted this baby out.
Yeah.
And so I was like, do it. Like get in, you know, whatever. I'm not afraid. I know I'm in early labor. I don't think that this is not going to stop. And, you know, so sweeps, she didn't sweep me, but even if she had, I would have been fine with it because, or if I would have asked her for it, I didn't really think about it. But because she just was having a hard time finding my cervix because it was so far back and I was sitting on the bed the way I was, there was still enough like poking and prodding that probably more prostaglandins were released. And right after she left, my contractions went to every 5 minutes. And that made me very happy for a couple of reasons. One, because I knew that now we can kind of get this whole ball rolling faster, but then also because that long gap in between contractions, but then when they come, they're hard. Maybe it sounds like it would be nice because you had this long break, but it's very hard to stay in a labor mindset when that's happening. Mm. It's like, what do? Just sit on a ball for 20 minutes waiting for this thing to happen? Like, what? No. And then it was getting nighttime, so it's like you're tired and yeah, you want to kind of find a position to sleep. And if I, you know, I could have, but right around this time they changed every 5 minutes, but it's like really hard in my opinion to be asleep, because I've done this in other labors too where you do fall asleep and then you wake up to like a hard contraction and it is unmanageable. It's like you can't cope because you're not in the mindset. You wake up to it like 25% in, and now all of a sudden out of nowhere, you're at the peak of the contraction. And you're like, and you have to like move your big pregnant body around and get into a good position. It's like very hard. I would rather not do that, even mm-hmm. though there's the benefit of rest. Other people are going to have different opinions about that. For me, it's too hard. So anyways, now they're about every 5 minutes. Wes is like getting ready to go to bed and getting Gage ready to go to bed. You know, the girls are already down and he's like, you should really try to sleep. And I'm like, babe, there's no sleeping for me. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You go sleep. Well, this is kind of what we do. It's like, he goes and he sleeps. And then he was like, I don't want to leave you. Cause they were starting to get like pretty strong, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, just I'll come get you, but try to get as much sleep as you possibly can. So it's 9-ish. They're every 5 minutes. I'm on my hands and knees a lot. We kind of created like, we were trying to figure out a way for me to rest. So he brought in this mattress. And it's like a super soft mattress with like terrible springs. And he modeled it for me. He's like, why don't you lay like this, sleep. And then when you start to feel one, pop off of it onto this like little gymnastics pad we have on the floor onto your hands and knees. Cause it was really comfortable for me to take hands and knees. So I did it once. And again, these are early-ish, starting to become active labor contractions. And that thing that I just described happened to me, and I was like, absolutely not am I doing that, because it was so hard for me to even just get my big body up off of that mattress. It was so sinky. And I was like, oh, and I'm starting to feel that coming in, and I'm like, oh my God. And then I get to my hands and knees, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, it was so much worse. So anyway, around this time too, right before you went to bed, I was like, Wes, I've figured out how to describe what a contraction feels like. So he's like, tell me. And I'm like, okay. And at this point in labor, it does really feel like this. And I don't know if you'll remember or connect into this idea. And obviously everybody else is going to have a different opinion. But before it becomes completely all encompassing and it's like a transition contraction and it's like, you know, your body's making a diamond out of the baby. Here's what it feels like to me, is that you have a panel of muscle that's like a strip, like a rectangular piece of muscle. Imagine it being like 3 inches high and like 6 or 7 inches wide. And it's all in the, it goes like right, sits right on top of your pubic bone. And it's all right there, kind of like where you would get menstrual cramps, but all through the front part of your, like almost from hip bone to hip bone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine it's like a sheet of muscle. And then someone is grabbing that long rectangular top edge of it, just the top edge, and pulling it up over your belly, and then, and like, then continuing to pull it up, pulling it up over like the top of your head and down the back of your neck. And like, just this immense muscular stretch feeling that's like too, it's beyond. It's like when you're stretching your hamstrings, or like someone, you know, when you used to do like partner stretches in volleyball and stuff, and people would like stretch your muscles for you, and you're like, ah, stop. Because they would do it too far. It's like that, except it just keeps going. It just keeps going. And like, but there's no muscle like tearing, which would happen in real life if somebody did that with your hamstrings.
Yeah.
But it's just like this feeling of immense stretching. And what's actually happening is literally the uterine muscle doesn't just like squeeze the baby like you squeeze a ketchup bottle.
Yeah.
It, the fibers are coming from down below where the cervix is, and they are moving in this upward manner to build up at the top, which is called the fundus, the very top of your uterus, where like baby's bum would be, that's underneath your rib cage and stuff. That is called the fundus. And it becomes this really thick pad because the muscle fibers are moving up it like a balloon. Like if you, you know, you can take a balloon when it's a little bit deflated and you can kind of like push more of the plasticky material, whatever balloon is made out of, latexy, up towards the top, or you can move it back down and you can have it kind of like gather, and then it gets darker color, whatever color the balloon is. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like how you can do that? Yeah. That's literally what happens with a uterus. And so it makes this thick pad at the top of the fundus. And then when you push, or like you're, it, that's what's happening, is that's pushing down. Now that thick pad that's built up all this power is pushing the baby down and out of your vagina. And so literally, like, I was able to feel that stretching feeling going up, pulling up. And I was really trying to be super metacognitive, like aware of my own cognition, aware of like my thoughts and my experience and stuff in this birth. And I felt like I was sort of looking at it through like a third party perspective, because I just wanted, you know, I really do think this is my last baby. I know people will give me shit about that, but I really do think so. And unless there's like an oops, but we will not be purposefully trying for a sixth. Mm-hmm. So, and I love birth, and it's very intense and very hard. And I was just like, I want to be in it fully presently, like, which there is another way you could be fully in it and present, which is often labor land. But I was trying to kind of be like, what's the word? Yeah. More lucid, I guess, which did actually, I think, make it feel harder for me.
Yeah.
I've been reflecting on why I thought it felt so hard. And I'm like, oh, it's probably because I was like so in my head. But I am glad I still did it, because I had some really good insights. I felt like I had some good like thoughts about the whole thing, and that were just interesting for me, that it was things that I've wanted to explore. So I was really kind of like going inward with that idea and imagining every single time I had a contraction, I was like imagining really, truly, like my inner eye was looking down. I, every time I have a contraction, I just close my eyes and I'm like, now at this point I'm moaning through everything. I'm in the room by myself. Wes is gone and he's, you know, trying to get a couple of hours of sleep. And so I'm kind of back and forth between these two stations of being on my hands and knees. And then in between the contraction, I would just sort of like lean forward and almost like in puppy pose in yoga, but my arms were on top of that soft, shitty mattress. And I like had my head down in the mattress, and I was just kind of breathing and resting, and like my butt was really high up in the air, which is kind of like an inversion, but it was comfortable. So I was just like, whatever, I'm doing it. And then I would pop up on my actual hands, take the contraction, go back down, rest. And then once I got sort of tired of doing that, I would come and sit up on the ball, on the big birth ball. And my whole goal, also another goal of mine, was to relax the rest of my entire body during a contraction. And I think I accomplished that probably like 80 to 85% of this birth. It gets much harder like when it's transition and stuff. Mm-hmm. But during these earlier labor contractions and as they were transitioning into active labor, which is usually something that I find is a very hard part of labor that nobody really talks about. I've seen one person talk about it in the last, like, you know, 10 years that I've been doing this. And it's that transition. The transition between early labor and active labor is actually so hard, because here you've had these contractions that you're like, oh, it's like fine. I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. Excuse me. Maybe they're like also far apart or whatever, but the intensity of them is not that bad. And then as it climbs and it builds and you're getting into that active labor pattern, before your brain actually really takes over and is starting to drug you with all these good feel, you know, endorphins and things, it's like very intense. Before you really, you have to surrender, you have to let go, you have to just allow this experience to wash over you. And a lot of people fight that because they're like, wait, it was so easy. Now what's happening? Oh my gosh, wait, shit, maybe I actually can't do this. And they're not, it's not even like you're getting into transition yet, but there's just a little transitory window there that I feel like maybe people need to talk about more, because it's when a lot of things go off the rails too, because it's usually when people are traveling, like if you're going to the hospital or you're going to a birth center. Mm. And it's like, we need to probably wait until you're into a good active labor pattern first. That is the advice. But a lot of people, especially first-time moms, they don't really know when that is. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh my God, things are changing. They're getting harder. Let's go. Let's go. But it's like, ooh, actually, let's get through this until you're in a really good groove. And then we'll get you into the car and we'll move you. That would be my preference. Mm-hmm. But again, I understand it is hard to know when to go. Yeah. So anyways, I'm on the ball. When I'm on the ball, my hands are facing up on my knees and I'm trying so hard to just keep them like really, really loose and relaxed. So I had a big main focus point in like keeping my face, my shoulders, and my hands relaxed. And then I was like doing big figure eights and big circles, and I'm moaning, and I'm looking down, like as if I turned my vision downward through my body, and I'm looking at the top of my uterus, and then I kind of cut a cross section open and I'm looking at my cervix, and I'm imagining it dilating like a pupil in your eye, like how it goes whoop, you know, and it's like this black hole, and I'm imagining it opening and dilating, or like a telescope, like a little pirate telescope that your kids have, and then you can go like in and out, and like mm-hmm. the hole gets, or like a kaleidoscope sort of, like it goes like bigger and smaller, mm-hmm. you know. I'm imagining every single contraction like really opening me up, like super strong visualizations, and I was sending my breath down my body like a line, like internal to that exact spot where it was very intense, and I'm using motion and movement the entire time. And, you know, now that I'm describing it like this, I would have probably said a couple days ago that this wasn't a very like psychedelic birth. It wasn't a very psychedelic experience in the way that it can be sometimes when you're shooting off to labor land. But actually, for like those moments when I was very locked into that visualization and very locked into my breath, it was. Mm-hmm. I could feel my body like sort of obeying my command. You know what I mean? Like I could feel that when I was really, cause it's hard to maintain that focus, especially when you're feeling all this sensation, but it almost like made me tunnel in deeper and just mm-hmm. to like stay super focused on that. It helped me with the sensation feel better and feel more manageable. Having multiple different focus points of like relax here, sending breath here, imagining a very strong visual of this. And then the contraction would be over. And then I would like take a couple breaths and breathe. And I'm listening to this kind of yoga playlist that we can link in the show list or the show notes too, which is something that I've listened to every single one of my last four births. It's from like the Reconnected Parenting Girls, New Earth Mama, Emma, whatever her name is, and the other lady, I forget what her name is too, but it's like a really awesome, just non-English kind of trancey omi playlist that at least for me, I like, because I don't want to be hearing words that I'm trying to listen to. Everybody's going to have their own gig with that, but I want to just kind of get lost in my head. So anyway, I'm on the ball. I'm doing that. And around like, so Wes probably actually left the room at like 10. And so around 11:45, 12-ish, something. So I was in there for like almost 2 hours just doing my thing. And I was keeping a contraction timer app going too, which I know a lot of people don't want to do or don't like to do. And that's totally fine. You don't have to. It was just interesting to me. Again, I was like looking at this through a very scientific eye. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't do that. I don't do it because I'm like, I need to actually know this. I just was sort of, it was just something I was doing. I don't know. I wasn't bothered by it. That's another thing I'll say is that sometimes with this, like, the yoga or not yoga, the birth dogma online, it can be very like, don't do this for any reason. It will only just cause you problems. And it's like, you know what? Well, if it's not causing you problems and you want to do it, then do it. Like, no, there's no harm, no foul in that. The free birth ladies would be like, no, you're being technocratic with your pregnancy and stuff. And it's like, who cares? Like, if I don't care, then if I'm obsessing over it and I'm really looking at it, and I'm anxious and I'm wondering and I'm analyzing, then no. But if you're not doing that, then who gives? So anyway, I'm kind of like starting to have this moment where each contraction is really like taking me down, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I need relief. Like something. Oh, you know what? Back labor. I was having back labor.
No.
Yep. And I was like, oh my God. And I'd felt an inkling of it earlier, and it kind of just stayed, and then sometimes it'd sort of go away, and then it just kept happening. And at this point, I am still checking where her positioning is with my hand, because I can just feel how locked and loaded she is on my right side. And I'm like, mother of pearl, is this baby going to be posterior? Is she going to rotate now posterior? Because why is she not moving? Surely I'm probably past that, like, you know, 5-ish centimeter mark or whatever that Anne had said. And I do not feel like doing the moves of Gilligan's Guide, and my midwife isn't here, which, you know, I shouldn't do that if the midwife isn't here to monitor the baby just for safety, like ultimate safety purposes, you know. Of course, you can do whatever you want again. And maybe if I had really felt inclined to do it, sure, but I just did not have I didn't have it in me. I was like, these are coming, like, and they're so intense, and I do not want to be in any of those weird positions when this is happening. But I was having back labor, and it's just such a different experience. It wasn't as bad as Gage's back labor. Gage's back labor felt like almost all of my sensation of the contraction was in my back. This baby, these ones were like my whole body. It just felt like everything, front and back. And so I didn't feel like I was exploding out my back like I did with Gage's birth. And he truly was posterior, so it was just different. And she, I didn't really understand. I was like, what is, I don't know, what is going on? But I was like, okay, I have to have relief. I'm just going to get into, like, my bathtub, which is where I had Sloan. And I was like, maybe, and the big white birth tub is, like, blown up. It's sitting in this room, but it doesn't have water in it, obviously. So what I was going to do was get in the bathtub. So I'm, like, starting to run the water, and then I was going to call Wes because he had his phone on ringer, and he was just sleeping in Gage's room in his bed. And I was like, okay, I cannot take one more contraction in the air though. I need to get in water, and then I'm gonna call him. But he just happened to wake up, so here he comes, like, stumbling into the room all sleepy. I don't know why he woke up. I don't know if he, like, heard something, or I don't know, I should ask him. But anyways, I get into this tub, and I'm like, the contractions are, like, so different now. All of a sudden, they are just so hard. And I'm like, now it's 12:10 ish, you know, and I'm like, Wes, I think that I need to call Janice. Like, something has changed. And he looks at the phone, and he's like, yeah, but they're every 5 minutes still. Like, let's wait a little bit. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, okay. Oh, I don't know. Like, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I know what you mean, because they're not, you know, every 2 or 3 minutes, like a normal transition contraction would be, but that doesn't always happen. Oh, just a little squeak within our dreams, huh? That's okay. Yeah, she's snoozing. So I have like maybe one or two more, and then I'm like, no, I just told him. I was like, I'm calling her. Like, this is something has changed. And then I kept thinking to myself, okay, what? What if I have like 3 hours left of birth? That's fine. She can be here for 3 hours. Like, everyone can be here for 3 hours. That's okay. Like, Morgan, it's fine. I had to keep like talking myself down because I really did think I was a lot further away than I was, just because of kind of how fast it changed. I don't even know. You know, you're just time is not real when you're in labor. Like, I couldn't believe I was like 12, 10. I like was trying to remember. I'm like, what? What have I been doing for the last? It's like that 2 hour chunk that I was by myself felt like 20 minutes. You know what I mean? I'm glad I didn't feel the reverse. Sometimes that can happen too. But so I call her. She's like, okay, I'm gonna call my team and come. And then I had like one more other contraction, and I was like, no, Wes, you need to call Andrea and Leah. Like, call them and have them come over like right now because I don't know what's going on, but I need it. You know, it might be sooner, and I just also wanted like you guys to be there and photos and everything. Okay, so I got into the big tub, the big birth tub, at like 1 o'clock. Andrea arrived like 5 minutes later. She has Archer, so my nephew, who's like 10 weeks old, she has him in a baby carrier. And I'm like, which I knew, and we'd talked about this before, where I was like, I was going to be the doula at her birth, and I was 30 weeks pregnant when that was happening, or 29. And she was like, yeah, and I'll take photos at your birth again. She took photos for Sloane's birth and Sunday's birth too, which is so funny because at that time she was not living on the property with Sloane's birth. She just happened to be in town that weekend. It was like a totally random thing that she just happened to be in town. So she did. And then with Sunday's birth, again, she was visiting. She wasn't living here yet. And, you know, we were going to have our other friend Brooke do the photos, and then she had to leave for a wedding. Anyway, it's just so funny how this has worked out that Andrea has been there both times taking photos. And then now you know, living just living down the street, it's like obviously. So you guys, you took a photo of your car when you got in your car. What
So
time was that?
Wes called me at 1 and I woke up in a panic, you know, because I'm just like, oh my God, it's so funny. And it's probably so much subconscious training of we have to go fast, you know, like anytime someone's like the baby, like you need to get here. Cause I was just like, holy shit, you know, like what if I'm late? You know, like all of these stupid things. And I was like, I have to eat. Cause it dropped my blood sugar so much just to be woken up out of sleep, you know? So I was like, I have to eat something though, where I won't be like top notch. And I remember getting in the car, I think it was 1:10 when I left. I have a screenshot of it, but it was, yeah. And then it takes me what, 12 to 13 minutes to get to your house.
So it was like 1:20 when you got there? Yeah. Okay. And so it's like
125,
1:20.
probably.
Yeah. Okay, and I get in the water and I'm having like I had probably three regular contractions, and then I start to feel my most loathed part of labor. This is the part that I hate the most. And I don't know if this is hard for anybody else. I would love to hear. If you guys have any thoughts on this, leave a comment or contact us or something like that on Instagram. I'd love to hear your thoughts because it makes me want to die, this feeling. This feeling makes me want to crawl out of my skin. And I had moments in the tub where I was just like, even if, like, okay, well, I was repeating to myself, the only way out is through. No one can do this for you. The only way out is through. No one can do this for you. And I was like, even if you called the ambulance right now, Morgan, and you got toted off to the hospital for a C-section, I was like, you would just probably give birth in the car. Like, that would be awful. That would be so much harder. And like, she's coming. You just have to do this. Like, it's okay. You're doing it. You have to do it. And I was, because it's so intense. Okay, this is the part that I hate. There is a time, a moment between when you are having those transition contractions and they're like actual just contractions, to where they change into being pushy. And it's not yet a full, like, locked and loaded pushing contraction that you're pushing up against. Like, it's nice in a way, pushing contractions. A lot of women will say this because now they feel like they're actually involved in the labor and they're not just like at its whim of, you know, dealing with the contractions. Now they're like actually doing something alongside of it. It can actually feel, people will say it feels good, quote unquote. I think what they mean is that it feels relieving to be able to work alongside them and be making a difference. And you can feel that difference. You can feel your baby moving down, etc. But right before that, again, this is another transition. When we say transition, we mean 8 to 10 centimeters, but there's multiple transition points that are also very uncomfortable in labor, as I mentioned before. This one feels like an open, gaping hole going all the way through your entire body, like you are just a tube and you're in this weird place, neither here nor there. That's why transitions suck of any kind, whether you're in transition between jobs, transition between relationships, you're neither here nor there. You're not in a place of like where you feel, you know, grounded and like you understand and you're locked and loaded and you're comfortable. You're moving. You're like changing and you don't know where you're going and you don't know how many you have left. And you're just like, what is happening? And it's so, oh, that feeling. It's so uncomfortable for me. I don't know how to describe it physically other than to say that I'm like, my moaning breaths suddenly do not work anymore, but I also can't push yet. And so there's some videos in there where I know exactly that when it's starting to happen to me, because I'm like, oh, like my breath completely changed and I'm just like, oh, okay. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I just have to stay alive. Just keep breathing. Just keep breathing. Like that's how it felt. And until once like you get really locked and loaded into those actual pushing contractions, then it's like you get that feeling, that kind of J breath, like gut feeling, like when you're pooping, where you're like, you know, and you're actually doing that. But prior to that, the couple of contractions that happened before that are just the worst, in my opinion. So I had that other insight. And I feel like I kind of knew that with Sunday's birth. And that's when I really freaked out at Sunday's birth. And I asked you to get aconitum.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where there was 2 points. One, I didn't ask you for aconitum yet, but I was starting to lose my mind, was during that transition I just talked about. But then there was another one where I did ask you for aconitum and her head was already out. But I wasn't able to like push the rest of her body out very easily. Like we were kind of in this, I think it was almost like 4 minutes that her head was just out. And I was like trying to figure out what the heck was going on, but she was kicking me from the inside. And it was such an overwhelming amount of sensation. And I was like, Leah, I'm freaking out. And it really did help. It really
I
did
know.
Help.
That's amazing.
But so this time, you know, I'm like, oh my God, there's a point in the video where I say like, I hate this. I'm like, oh, I can feel it. I'm pushing. I hate this. It's so funny now because, you know, it's over and I don't ever have to do it again. But yeah. In the moment, it was not funny. Okay, but so the kids were still not awake yet. And right when I started to feel that first pushy sensation, I was like, Wes, go get the kids. And Andrea was like, okay, I'll go get them. And then she came back and she said something to me. And I don't really exactly know what happened. I don't know if you saw what happened with this. But I think she said, Wes told me to only go get Gage and Savi. And then he was going to wait on Sloan and Sunday for a minute. I think because he thought we were farther away than we were. Okay. It's probably like 1:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I didn't see the kids, but Andrea came back. I could hear her voice. So I figured I didn't open my eyes. So I don't know. But then I had one more contraction and I was like very clearly pushing through that one. And I was like, I like shrieked it. I was like, Wes, go get Sloan. Cause like, at least I wanted Sloan to be there for the birth. Like in case she came out right then, because Sunday, you know, I did want her to be there, but Sloan would have been so sad if she wasn't in there and everybody else was. So I don't know who got her Sloan. Did you get Sloan? Did Andrea get Sloan?
No, I actually can't remember. I was so focused on not missing anything important that I wasn't even paying attention, because I was like, I can't miss, because I was doing film, you know, video. And I think Wes got her.
Okay, somebody did, and they got her fast, because then just within like maybe, well, or again, who knows, time is such a warp, but like within a few minutes, or not even minutes, like a minute, I heard you say, she's here, Sloan's here, or something. And I was like, oh, okay, good.
And Sunday, and then too. Sunday was there too. I was like, everybody's here.
Okay, yeah. So then I like opened my eyes and everybody was there. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And so Gage is holding Sunday. That whole, the way that that happened in my mind is not what I think actually happened in reality. But I was very concerned that everybody was there, because it was happening so quick. And then like right after that next contraction, I'm like pushing with it and kind of like panting and horse lipsing, and Wes is helping me like stay okay with my breath because I was starting to kind of go off into different breathing patterns. And but that's okay, like, you know, that can happen, but it is nice to sort of be grounded of like, exhale slow, like let's not hyperventilate right now, you know. And then this is the moment that I'm going to remember from this birth for the rest of my life. This is, you know, like when you have a random memory as a kid of like something, like, you know, you were standing on the playground of your elementary school and for some reason it just like stands out to you, you have no idea why, and you like kind of wish you did, like why it's a core memory of some, for some reason. This is going to be my core memory. I'm like actively watching it happen in my brain because I can still feel it like in my body. It was the weirdest thing. Well, first of all, I did not do my enema in my early labor of this birth because I was actually pooping a ton, which I don't know. I'm normally like a once in the morning poop girl and that's it. And so when people have said this, I know it's a really common experience. They're like, oh, my body like clears out in early labor and I just poop and poop and poop. I never had that experience before. And partially maybe it's because I didn't wait long enough. I would just do the enema to make sure that there wasn't poop in there. Yeah. But this time it was very like, it was happening all throughout that day on Thursday. I just kept having bouts of not diarrhea, but I was just like, wow, I have pooped so much today. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to do the enema. And I also didn't want to like irritate my gut too much. You know, if you do an enema and like you don't really need to poop, it's kind of like not great. Yeah. But so there was a moment though where I felt something coming out and her head was, you know, getting so low. It feels like you're pooping. And I'm like, am I pooping? Like, what's going on? Am I pooping? I kept saying that out loud to people because I could feel this like stream of stuff coming out. In retrospect now, it was at least part of her water breaking and it was like streaming out of me, but it kind of felt like it was coming out of my butt. I don't know, because I wasn't pooping. So I'm like, well, what the heck is that? I don't know. What's that feeling I'm feeling? And then though, her this like one thing that I'm saying that I could feel still in my body is her like clunking. That's how it felt, like clunking into my birth canal, like right about to start to crown, like coming underneath my pubic bone. That I could feel her go like whoop boom. And when she did, I felt my actual like water break for sure, because I felt the pop, which I've wanted to feel multiple times. People who have their water break earlier in labor, like they say that they feel it in their whole belly, but I felt it right at my vagina, right at the opening of my vagina. I felt this like pop and she like came down into it. And then so I felt the bag breaking, but there wasn't actually more water coming out until her head was born, which you can see in the video. But there's two layers of the amniotic sac. So what I think happened is that there was like a tear in it, because what I was feeling was water streaming out of me. It wasn't pee. It was like lower. I kept thinking it was poop. It wasn't. Although I did have like one piece of poop at some point in the later when she was like, actually her head was coming out, I think. But then the second layer of bag broke right then, but then you don't see any water coming out into the birth tub pool until like her head is being born. And you can see this kind of cloudy yellowish, like, you know, thing, which has now happened to the last three babies. And I'm like, do they not get any microbiome benefits of my vagina if they're not, they don't, right? I mean, they're covered in an amniotic layer.
Maybe not, but they will from your skin to skin and all of that. And so
I know, but isn't it, like, nobody talks about that. If your water's not breaking until the right at the end, that baby did not get anything.
I would
it's so annoying.
Not. Yeah.
It's
just kind of a bummer.
I don't know. We maybe need to do some research on that. Like, studying those kinds of babies that were born like NCOL, like if they actually had the sac completely around them, then they got literally nothing. Anyway, so it feels that moment when they're like right there about to start crowning, they start bulging into like your butt. They're not really bulging into your vagina yet, and it feels like, what is going on? How am I going to get this baby out of my vagina? Because she's like going the wrong direction. She's going down, not out. But you know, they just kind of go whoop and they go, they like seal up a little bit and lock into where your vaginal hole is, because they're in your vagina. They're not in your butt, although it very much feels like they are. And it's always a crazy thing to think to yourself, wow, this baby is coming out of me right now. Like, I have zero choice in this matter. This is happening. I'm going to push an entire baby out of my vagina again. And like, I'm going to hope to God I don't tear, and I'm going to hope it doesn't hurt so bad, but it's going to, and I just don't know how I can do it. And it is the weirdest. It's the weirdest feeling ever. It's not, I don't think it's the worst part though. People will say like, oh my God, the ring of fire, like it's so bad, da da da, whatever. And I'm like, go slow. So crown as slow as you possibly can. Support your tissues, like help hold and just gently, like this time I was really like nudging just gently my tissue sort of back as whatever was presenting from her head. Then I was kind of just like sliding it back towards myself, which would, you know, like reveal a little bit more of her head. And it wasn't like because of a push. It was sort of like I was just gently being like, okay, stretch, stay with me. Don't break. Don't tear. It's okay. Because I tore wide open with my first. And I think part of that was his positioning. Part of it was the birth stool. And I've talked to some midwives about this before. They say that, like, you know, the birth stool really can make women tear pretty badly because of this, like, pressure line that of them being upright and kind of in the squat and things. I'm a big fan of, like, being on your side. Anyway, and so I'm, like, pushing her head out. And I said out loud to the – I was like, okay, here she comes. And then everybody kind of like got in closer, and Sunday goes, there's the baby's head, which was really cute. And, you know, I'd shown her own birth story a million times and other ones too. And so she did great. I was really, all the kids did great. They were sleepy, you know, they were tired and sleepy. And so they just kind of sat there, but I thought that maybe she would be a little bit more kind of confused or disoriented being woken up like that. And no, she didn't.
Wanting you, like, that would be my fear, is that your little one being like, mommy, mommy. Like, I could imagine Cade like needing me. And then you're just like, get away from me. Like, I do not.
No, she, I really kind of thought something like that too, but she just did so great. So I don't know. I was very happy about that. She didn't seem scared either. Like, that was another thing I was worried about. But anyways, so then I'm, you know, pushing your head out. And I got into this breathing pattern that was so helpful of breathing in and out of my nose, but I was able to just stay like really, really in control. I know I look calm. I'm not calm. I'm like completely like not losing it, but just very like intensely focused on staying focused. Otherwise I know I would just like lose it. You know, I had to really keep my strong visuals of feeling your head coming out and just being like, you're so close, like you're almost there, you're almost there. And then I felt like all the way up to like her ear coming out, I could feel it. And then when it popped over her to her neck, it was such a relief, like, because then, you know, it's skinny again. And it, like, that's kind of, that's the hardest part. It's like getting the head out is the hardest part. And then I was like, oh my God, okay. So I took like two breaths, and then I didn't have a contraction anymore, but I was like, nope, I'm done. I am getting this baby out right now. And so I just pushed her out with my own free will and not even using a contraction because I didn't want to wait. And so I could feel her little like neck kind of coming more and more and more. And then I felt her shoulder go pop out from underneath. And I said to Wes, because his hands were kind of right there, and that's fine. But I was like, I want to catch her. And so out, this is the other part of this moment that is just like forever seared into my brain, is the feeling of her little slimy, wet, soft body. And like, I could feel her cord too. It was kind of like maybe next to her shoulder. It wasn't around her neck, but I could just feel it. And I like, you know, trying to guide out her body and feeling her little shoulders and head kind of tumble into the water, and then to lift her up and stuff. That is so visceral on my fingertips. It's like, I can still almost feel it. You know what I mean? So soft, so slimy, so like just newborn baby. Like, they have no turgor. They're so like, just like a bag of bones kind of, you know? And then lifting her up, and, you know, she cried right away, which was really great. And then had a moment of more quiet, and then started crying again. And I just was like shrieking in joy and happiness. I kind of look like I'm crying. I'm not really like actually crying, like tears, but I was just so relieved. Like, that's the biggest relief ever. Like, oh my God, get this baby out of my body. Number one. Number two, she's here and she's crying and she's safe and healthy and happy. And I know that, yeah, that is kind of like number two in that moment for me, that experience. Like, I was like, this has to end. I am done with this experience. And I really leaned into every contraction, trying to make it as intense as possible to get through it faster. Like, I really leaned into that space of being like, okay, this feels really intense. I'm going to go there. I'm going to like breathe into this. Okay, I'm going to like expedite this because I just am done. I just want her out. And So then it was a pretty fast, it was a 5 hour active labor, and she did great. And what's also funny is that it's nice having videos, because otherwise it would be very warped, your own perception of it. Although that is my perception, that is my reality, so maybe the videos are warped. You know what I mean? It's like, who knows?
Totally.
But like,
That's deep.
I felt like the moment that I pulled her up on my chest, because then I knew, I was like, I kind of shimmied around the side of the tub so that Wes could see her and the kids could see her face. Like, and in the videos, I do it really quickly, but in my head, it was like minutes. It was like minutes that I was just standing there holding her, and I was like loving it and just like being so relieved and like looking at her and stuff. And then I was like, oh, my family can't see her. Let me like move so that they can see her face, you know? But it was actually like 20 seconds or something like that in real life. So that's another one of those weird time warp things where I felt like I had these like moments with her for, well, I'm a lot longer. But anyway, so then the kids are there, they're looking at her, they're kind of anticlimactic. They don't really say anything. They're all sleepy. I don't know what they thought. I keep asking them and they all just say, good. So what did you think of when the baby came out? Good. Okay, what does that mean? And they just like really have nothing to say, but maybe in the future they will, I don't know. And like even Gage, he's like, yeah, it was cool. That's it. He doesn't have anything to say. As adults, I think we have understand the gravity of the meaning of all of this much more, but anyway, yeah, so I mean that is the birth. And then the placenta, so another one of my, well, it was one of my goals to catch her myself, like totally no other hands. And that basically happened with Sunday's birth, but Janice still had to kind of push her between my legs because of the way I was in this like runner's lunge. And that's fine, but I did want a fully autonomous experience with that, just for shits and giggles, really, just to like see what it was like, I guess. And then similarly with a placenta, I just notoriously hate delivering the placenta. It's very uncomfortable for me. This time it was actually probably the least uncomfortable of all of my experiences, even in the earlier birth, or sorry, the earlier postpartum phases, where like I normally can kind of feel it slough off my uterus and then it's just sitting there and it's giving me all these weird cramps. That even really didn't happen a little bit. It was very bad with Sunday. It was really, really obnoxious and annoying to me with Sunday's birth. And with this one, I felt it a little bit, but more I was sort of like expecting it to happen and it kind of didn't. And I was talking it through with Janice and being like, I need to give birth to this placenta. Will you close the door, please? Thank you, hun. And she was like, you're gonna do it. You're gonna do it. Because I talked to her about it through the whole pregnancy, being like, please just keep encouraging me, even if I wuss out and I say that I don't want to do it. Like, just make me, because I will be happier for it in the end, So I couldn't feel, I couldn't, like, I probably laid in the tub for 25 minutes, And then I got out onto the bed, and pretty soon after I got out onto the bed, I was like, oh, I do feel it. Because I kept saying to her, I'm like, Janice, this is never going to come out. Like, and she's like, no, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. You'll feel like a contraction. You'll feel something there right at the entrance, just like you did her head, and you'll push it out. And I was just like, nope, that's never going to happen. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it did, though. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling it. I can feel it. And so then they get this like little bedpan thing, and this freaking placenta is so big. And it like, gut like oozes out of me. I pushed it. And I was able to actually push up against it because it was so big. But normally, that's one of my gripes about placentas, is that they're like this squishy, weird, soft thing after just getting out like a hard-bodied baby. Like, how are you supposed to feel that when you feel like a big gaping hole? But I actually could feel this because it was so big, and it comes out of me. And that was the greatest relief also of my life. Like that. And then being done, I was like fully done with the birth, You're not fully done until that placenta comes out. And so then I'm just like sitting there with it next to me, and then her cord's still attached and she's skin to skin, and we're all just kind of like, everybody cleans up so freaking fast. It's like they were out of there in 45 minutes or something, it felt like. But so I did that too, which was really cool. So I delivered the placenta by myself
So
and
cool.
it was enormous. Okay, this baby I thought was going to be my biggest baby by far because of the way, I mean, everybody said that too. My stomach was huge. I was enormous. And I gained 55 pounds. So I got to over 200 pounds,
Nice.
which was, Wes recorded a video of it when I stepped on the scale. I was like, oh, Wes, I was like, I'm past 200. He's like,
Girl.
yes. Because he was threatening divorce to me if I didn't make it to 200. That was his goals. He wanted it. I do try to get to be as big girl as I can during pregnancy and even in early postpartum to gain more weight because of how metabolically my body metabolizes, like the breastfeeding experience. It will come off me in like sheets, it feels like, here in a couple months. Not yet, but historically I lose very quickly, but it's like pathological. It's not good. And it doesn't make me feel very good, even though, you know, people are like, I really want my postpartum or my body back, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I can't relate to that because it doesn't make me feel good. If it was slower, it would feel better. And actually, with Sunday's postpartum, that was the best one that I had that way, where I lost weight the slowest. And it really made a huge difference to the way I felt. But anyway, I thought that this baby was going to be huge, but it wasn't. She wasn't. She was 8 pounds, 8 ounces. We weighed her after she, which is exactly what Sunday was. And we weighed her after she had pooped a bunch of meconium all over me. So she probably would have been like maybe 2 ounces more or something like that. So maybe she was 8'10", but I was expecting her to be like 9'5" or something. But then once I saw that huge placenta, I was like, oh, okay. Well, that maybe just explains why I felt so heavy still, you know, and felt so big and things. But then also the weight gain. And yeah, I'm looking at my notes here. Oh, I one thing to note about this is that, well, I have a couple of postpartum things to say, is that I have not had like very many afterbirth contractions at all this time around. And they say notoriously that they get worse and worse and worse as your pregnancies go on. I would say that was true for my first three births. My afterbirth contractions with Sloan were terrible. Like it was all, I was like having to breathe through them, like a real contraction. And they would last a long time. And it was this nagging, crampy ache. And I really remember that. And then with Sunday and now this baby, they have been so much better. Like I never, not one time, even took a dose of AfterEase, which is the tincture by Wish Gardens that I really do recommend to a lot of people because it's very helpful for that. You can also use it for menstrual cramps later on when you start to get your period back. But they've just been really, really manageable. Also, I mean, everything about this postpartum has been, I'm only 10 days in, but it's my best one by far. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. I think Wes and I got really locked and loaded and clear on what I need postpartum with the fourth one. So I am doing all the things that I did still with my fourth one. But this baby just has less issues. So her mouth, although she was tied still and she had her release on day three, her suck is better. She does not seem to have laryngeal malacia, and Sunday did. And so she had a really weak suck, and then she was spitting up all the time and very noisy. And you know that at 10 days postpartum, it still wasn't even really that big of an issue yet. It's something that came later. And so I may change my tune with McLean later on. I don't know. But as of right now, it's going really well. And then the second main difference, well, two other main differences, is that I'm being very strict and diligent about my daily routine. I got one of those like little slider chore chart things for the kids like a couple of years ago, and it came with an extra one, and I just have kept it in my desk. And I was like, oh, I'll use that for myself for like my own things, and then I never did. And then I found it when I was doing my nesting and my cleaning, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna make a list. And so on my list, it says things like supplements, bone broth. So I've been drinking a whole jar of Fond bone broth every single day because
Love it.
I'm not a bone broth maker. I wish I was. I'm just not. And so I buy my bone broth. Like, whatever. Shoot me. You know, I'm going to, like, it is what it is. And they're delicious. And the one that I just crave, it's so good, is like the lemon radish. Do you, that one with the greenish label?
Good.
It is so good. So every single day, I've been drinking a whole jar of that, which has like 15 grams of protein too. And Fond, just so you guys don't know, it's like a small company, but they're in glass jars. They're shelf stable, so you don't have to have them in the refrigerator or anything like that. And it's a regenerative process, and they're made with actual bones. This is something that, again, is like such a disheartening truth to our world, which is that like words don't really mean anything in the food and drug industry sometimes. You would think that if it says bone broth and not just like chicken stock, then it would be made with actual bones. And they don't have to use actual bones, and they can still use the word bone broth. So you ought to, it would behoove you, my favorite word, it would behoove you to look into your source of bone broth if you buy it also, and see, and backtrack and maybe even contact the company. How is it you guys are making this and see what they say. But Fond is actually using real bones. So that is a cool thing to know about. It's also just like a small, cute company and a mom of six who started it. And I love to support brands like that. And it tastes so good. When my dad was recovering from his illness earlier in this pregnancy, that was another thing that made it harder, was there was a lot of like life things going on for me. This pregnancy, my dad basically like almost died. He was in the ICU for a long time. And then he came and he moved in with us because he was going to be unable to live on his own. And one of the things we were doing as part of his recovery too, was he lost so much weight and he really just needed to like build back up and get good protein and things. But he didn't have a strong appetite, but we were giving him the bone broth every single day too. He kind of got like hooked on it. You know, it was like, okay, bone broth, then coffee, dad. First your bone broth though. Here it is. And we'd sit out on the back porch and he'd drink it and we'd sit there in the sun and stuff. This was before the wildfire smokes came in and really nice. But I love that brand. So I've been really diligent.
Can I say something?
There's many brands of botanical or herbal medicines to choose from. And one of my favorites right now for the season of motherhood is Earthly. One major benefit of using plant-derived supplements is that you get the synergistic effects of all of the compounds that the plant has to offer instead of just one single compound. Because they are meant to work together. And then beyond that, the geniuses at Earthly have combined plants in such a smart way to complement each other. Like with the Nourish Her Naturally tincture, which is almost like a Nora tea, the pregnancy tea that's nettle, oat, red raspberry, and alfalfa, but it's in a tincture form. This Nourish Her Naturally tincture also contains dandelion, catnip, and spearmint to also increase your mineral and antioxidant intake in pregnancy while you are still benefiting from the nervous system effects and all of the different things that each plant has to offer, and then the way that each plant works together synergistically. Earthly has a magnesium lotion for your calves and feet at night in case they start cramping, a mama's tummy relief tincture to aid in nausea, and then postpartum support herbs like Ease the Ache tincture to help with the pain of afterbirth contractions, which if you've never felt those, my goodness. They also carry an herbal sitz bath blend that you can make into peri pads, put in your peri bottle, do a traditional sitz bath, or something like a yoni steam with. For all your motherhood needs and your pediatric needs, head to earthly.com to check out their huge collection of effective herbal remedies, and then you can use the code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 10% off your order. So again, head to earthly.com because nature is medicine. I have a confession to make that will probably knock the socks off of some of you crunchy moms. And please don't make fun of me for this, but listen, I don't make bone broth, okay? I don't. Sue me. I like to buy it instead. And maybe one day I'll get my act together, but for now I rely on brands like Fond to make real actual bone broth from scratch, just the way that I would at home. Fond uses actual bones, not just rehydrated powders like a lot of brands. And their animals are verified regenerative, 100% grass-fed or pasture-raised, and the vegetables that they use are organic. And as you've heard us talk about in the past, there are certain foods like bone broth that have been used in pregnant and postpartum populations throughout human history, preferentially more so in those populations, due to their healing benefits on the body. So providing the connective tissue nutrition or optimal gut health and healing so that our bodies can make new life healthfully. Fond has several different flavors to choose from in beef and chicken broth, from unflavored to things like the classic garlic and lemon to even a turmeric and black pepper with added health benefits. But then they also have foundational fats like tallow and lard as well. Make your family building season easy and choose Fond for your shelf-stable glass bottled bone broth that you can use in soups, with rice, or just for sipping like I do because they taste that good. Check the link in the show notes or go to fondregenerative.com and nourish yourself with Fond.
And I'm obsessed with it too, and I don't eat dairy. Unfortunately, it just bothers me. But I know a lot of women, when they have their baby, some babies will be like spitty and all of this kind of stuff. And a lot of times dairy is the culprit, which sucks because, you know, dairy can be such a healthful food, but I love Fond because of their tallow. That's what I use to cook with instead of butter, and I use it for everything. Like, I just made this amazing turmeric soup with their turmeric tallow. I love their duck fat for cooking my buckwheat pancakes. So they have even more than bone broth, and I'm obsessed with them because a lot of tallow, and to me, tastes gamey and rancid, and theirs doesn't. And so for anyone who's like either pregnant and is sensitive to smells and stuff, or postpartum or can't do dairy or just wants to use tallow, I love their stuff too. So I just want to plug that for you.
No, I'm glad you said that because tallow can be disgusting. Like tallow is one of the grossest smells. Like if it's nasty.
Amazing. I use it for eggs, everything. I'm like, I love this. So they're doing something different than the ones that I've bought at the grocery store. Even like the top brands. I'm like, something's wrong. This smells bad, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so gross. It's kind of like collagen. There is a gamey flavor of collagen that the kneaded one does not have, that a lot of other brands have. And same thing with this tallow. We've been making fries, french fries on the Blackstone Oh. Or, wait, is that what it's called? Blackstone? Blacktop? What's that thing called? That, like,
I have no idea, but
not a
Sadia
trigger.
Was like, Morgan makes better fries. That's what she said when she came home.
Yeah.
So I need to know what you're doing.
Okay. So before my dad got sick, he came over here one time and we were baking. No, it is called Blackstone. Okay. I just looked it up. We were baking fries in the oven. We were making hamburgers for him. And he was like, wait, what are you guys doing? Why aren't you frying your fries? And I was like, well, what do you mean? How do you do that? And I remembered I had like a flashback to growing up and these delicious fries that my dad would make. And he would, of course, make them in probably like canola oil. I don't know what he would do. But so he was like, well, let me do it for you. So he like on our stove in maybe like, you know, an inch and a half of tallow, the fond tallow, made these fries and they were so much better. We were like, wait a minute. Oh my gosh. Okay. Like we're going to do that. But then it just took forever. So then Wes was like, well, let's try it on the Blackstone, which is just basically like a big griddle top thing, whatever. It's like a grill outside, but it's not. So then he was making the burgers already. And I was like, well, babe, you're not gonna be able to fry them because you can't get like an inch of tallow in there. You don't need to. You can just use like, you have to use a good amount still, but they don't have to be like coated in the tallow in order to become absolutely delicious. So amazing.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. So anyway, that's, we're big fans. But so, okay, on my list, I have supplements. So I've been taking my supplements every day. I have my little supplement organizer for morning and night. That includes the needed prenatal, fish oil, choline, and then my favorite thing in the entire world, stress support. I can take it now again, which makes me so happy. Also, sometimes like every couple of days, I have some beef liver from Ancestral Supplements in there. And then at nighttime, basically the same, like the second dose of all of that stuff, except stress support. You don't take that at nighttime. You only take it in the morning. But then at nighttime, I also add my triple mag, which is a tri-magnesium blend thing by Vital Nutrients that I'm a huge fan of. Keeps me pooping and helps with cramps and just like all the other different things of magnesium. There's three different kinds in it. And then I'm also doing a little bit of movement every day. And what I mean by that is like cat cows, you know, or like a little stretching of my legs. Cause when you're in bed for a long time, like you just get sore from that in general. But then also I felt like this time again, because of the way my hips and back felt at the end of pregnancy, I've needed to like really slowly re-oil like my hips and joints and stuff. So I'm moving very, very slowly now at day 10. This is the best I've felt, you know, this whole time. And I was like getting ready for this podcast. I put makeup on for the first time and I was like standing there going, oh my God, I actually feel like really good and strong. Like I don't feel weak. Yay. You know how I've been.
Yeah.
Postpartum, how I feel too weak to even like walk across the house.
What it's you're just doing weird. Is working.
Yeah. Whatever I'm doing is working. Exactly. And then I'm also trying to shower every day just to make me for mental health and then do something fun. And by fun, I mean either read my book, which I'm reading Crescent City now. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually enjoying it.
I got to get back into it.
It's hard when because you read the first two books, right?
Yeah. And now I'm trying to listen, but they're doing it through that production where everybody has a different voice and the girls, and they're just so like, I don't know. I've gone back to ACOTAR. I'm listening to ACOTAR because I'm like, I love being whisked away into this world.
And there's no whisking away in the modern world of Crescent City.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whisk. There's a way. I don't know. I need to give it
I just
shot.
Cannot believe what happened in the beginning. I am like still
I am
really
remembering
shocked.
Now. Yeah. That you said that. Yeah. There yeah, are some stuff like, that happen. It's just, don't know. I'll give it a shot. I'm glad you're liking it.
Okay, good. And then four meals a day. Four meals a day is like a non-negotiable for me. Oh, and then her exercises, because I have to do her stretches for her mouth and I just put it on that chore list so I don't forget. But the four meals thing is such a key. And so I've been eating some of the soups that you guys all brought me on at the Blessing Way that I froze with the super cubes. There's been some meal train stuff happening. My mother-in-law is in town now, so she's been helping. And it's just, I've been trying to eat as much as I possibly can alongside like tons of electrolytes in my water, the broth every day, like really just filling my nutritional tank like as much as I possibly can in every direction, like lactation cookies and dates with butter. And I'll be like, bring me those peanut butter cup things that my sister-in-law made. Oh my God. And Andrea made, the one who was taking photos, she made these like homemade little peanut butter cups that are so good, like better than a Reese's, you know what I mean? Oh, but then she also made this like, this would destroy your gut. I'm sorry. This is going to sound so gross to you. It's a mix of like Greek yogurt and cream cheese. And then she mixes like salt and some maple syrup in it. and then fruit from our garden. Like, she made me like a raspberry one, and then she made me a raspberry blackberry one. And it's like this thick, rich, decadent, yogurty dessert thing, but it's thicker than yogurt because there's cream cheese in it. It's like so much dairy, but it's so good. Oh, and I've been drinking just like cups and cups and cups of raw milk. Like, I think I drink a gallon of raw milk to myself this week.
That's incredible. I mean, I wish I could. I would love to be able to do that and not feel bad. I wish I could.
I know. I wish you could too. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. We'll fix it. I'm working on it.
Yeah. One day. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that, two more things. One is that Wes and I are doing a different sleep method this time. So like beforehand, I would just deal with the baby and he would sleep in a different room because he's doing so much. I mean, he got like it's a Hume band. It's like a health band kind of thing. H-U-M-E, Hume, or maybe Hume, or I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it, but it's telling him that he's getting like 18,000 steps a day just in our house, taking care of me and the kids and bringing me everything. And I'm just sitting back here bed rotting, but I'm loving it and I'm just recovering and I'm feeling so much better. And I know what happens to me if I don't do this. And so I know it may not seem like possible for everybody. Hi, baby girl. She's awake. But it is something that I really, really prioritize. We talk about it for months in the pregnancy and we really make it happen. Like it's not something that I just am getting without any like control. Literally, my husband took a different job knowing that I was pregnant with this baby. And he was like, I am going to take the job that's $50,000 less pay per year, but I'm working way less overall in terms of like the daily requirements so that we can, you know, bring this new baby in.
Would probably pay that in childcare if he didn't. So it's like,
yeah, good point. Exactly. So what we're doing is like, I am sleeping with her until probably, it depends on the night. Like last night I called him at 4:30 and then he comes in and he takes her for a couple of hours and I sleep without her. I'm chest sleeping with her and I'm doing it like, you know, the proper chest sleeping way as per co-sleeping rules. Mm-hmm. And, but it's not very comfortable. I like to sleep on my side. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay, but it's not perfect. And so he comes and he takes her and then I sleep on my side for a couple of hours. And then maybe I'm even doing that like once during the day too and taking a nap. So I'm getting like about 7 hours of sleep still every night.
That's amazing. You're really like rocking postpartum.
Thanks, friend. I'm really trying so hard because I just know if I'm going to be a mom of five now and work as much as I have built up this business and like, you know, with this podcast and everything, like in order to maintain that and then also doing the kind of like abridged homeschooling stuff, like I have to, and health is everything and mental health and just all of it. You know, it's like, I just know the way it will go if I don't do this. And so I'm really prioritizing this. Okay. This is going to seem so random, but I just want to say it because I forgot to say it earlier. About the birth and her being on the right side, there was a moment in the tub where once I started having those first couple pushy contractions where I felt her and she was off my right side. I don't know where she was. I couldn't find her back really, but she was not where she had been. I was like, oh, I like screamed the F word a couple of times because I was just like, not screamed it, but I said it a couple of times because I was like, oh my God, this is the first time that she's not been there. And it was such a relief even just feeling that. But so I texted Ann Gilligan the next day after the birth and I like told her what happened and, you know, she's here and blah, blah, blah. And she came out, she was not posterior. Her head has no signs of being asynclitic. I don't think that she was, but I don't know what happened. She never got off my right side until the very end. And she wrote me back and she goes, tight hip flexor, follow up with pelvic floor PT. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? Like, yeah, I had a tight, that hip flexor was tight my entire pregnancy. And I tried to do all this stuff about it. I never even thought about pelvic floor PT. What? Like furious, like not furious, but like in awe, like shock. Like, what do you mean? Oh my God. I never even considered that. I went to the chiropractor every week. I got massages. I did my mobility routine. I went on walks. I stretched. I did all the things. I slept with the pillows between my legs. I, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it never gave me relief on the hip flexor side of things. And so she's like, yeah, pelvic floor PT. And I'm like, oh my God. So just as a PSA to anybody who's maybe experiencing, they're nodding your head alongside my story going, oh my God, that's like my baby. Maybe look into your pelvic floor PT person. I'm a huge fan of pelvic floor PT. I just never considered it for that particular issue. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. And then this baby is starting to really wig out. So I think we need to go here. I gotta nurse her again.
Totally. Maybe we'll do another episode on like breaking down my experience of the birth. I actually had a different experience this birth than Sunday's,
Oh,
which I
tell
think has
me.
to, well, no, I think we need a whole episode about it because it's, we
Oh,
like have already gone so long. And so let's just plan to do another episode. It'll come out in the future of me breaking down my experience of like being the friend who has infertility, who also has C-sections, like being with you, who's amazing, who's had all these amazing births, and like a, I'm so happy for you, but sad for me, but also like I'm happy for you. You know, it's just there's a lot. It was weird. It hit me, and I was like, whoa, this is weird. I don't want to take away from your birth and how amazing it was because it was so amazing, and I'm so in awe of you. And every time I see you, you know, just do any of the things that have to do with becoming a mother, you're just so this example of what. You know, we're all striving for, and it's just so cool to see it and to experience it. And I'm just so excited. I'm so ha happy for you, and I'm so happy that your baby's here. And it's so cool. So we'll do another episode because we've already gone like so far, and this is
Well, I
just
just want
so
to say
great.
really quickly that it is true for me. For some reason, the reproductive side of things is like very simple and smooth. But I think the same thing of you when it comes to your like patience with your kids.
Well, I don't know if I have that anymore. I think I just had an easy first child.
Well, but just even or like, you know, your ability to just kind of like go with the flow of like the messes and stuff and all those things that like really wig me out that I get so I'll choose like disconnection and discipline and stuff over just letting it be messy. You know, like we all have our strengths and things, and
And we
when
all
it comes
have
to the
our
kids
own.
actually.
Yeah, we all have our own vehicles of growth, which I think we should do a podcast about that, you know, because I think people get really, and we've talked about this with other people too, of just they can be so in their head that they are, it's hard for them to be happy for other people. And you just have to remember, like, we're all on our own journey and we're all in our own place. And like, we can be sad for us and happy for others and like still show up for them. And so I think we should just do a whole podcast on it. But I'm so amazed.
Write down your notes though so that you don't forget,
Yes, I
because it's
will.
probably not going to be for a couple of weeks. So,
Yeah, I'll write it down. It'll be good. I'll remember. It was kind of a core like thing that I was like, oh, I was not expecting it at all. It just kind of hit me out of nowhere. I was like, whoa. You know, it's not a big deal. It was just like, yeah, I wanted to chat with you about it at some point, but not now because it's like not a big deal. But
Okay, well, I definitely want to hear everything. So do not forget, write down your
cool.
thoughts.
Okay, well, this is
Okay.
amazing. I'm so excited. I know your baby's awake. And so I'm just so
Thanks.
glad that this birth story is out and that you've had such an
Yay.
amazing experience in postpartum. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that it's all here and good. And you've had five good ones. And I'm just like,
Thank you. Me too. We are feeling incredibly blessed and just grateful that everything has gone how it has.
amazing. Okay.
Okay, are you pregnant or you're trying to conceive and you're looking for reliable natural health information about how to have a healthy pregnancy and also prepare for the future steps in motherhood to come, like the birth, the breastfeeding, and the postpartum? Because I have got you. So this is exactly the reason why I made the 6-week pregnancy call. And it's my most comprehensive resource. It's the thing that I absolutely love. I've poured my heart and soul into it. It's all of the things that I wish that every woman knew when they are entering motherhood. It's a pregnancy health course, birth prep series, breastfeeding 101 class, and a postpartum planning course all in one. And normally I run it as a class with live Q&A calls, but now it's available in a content-only format so that you can purchase it at any time and start learning immediately. It's called the lessons-only format, and it is just only all of the video lessons that you'll get access to for forever. So log on to milkmedicine.com/lessons-only or check out the link in the show notes.
In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.